Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. And we also want you to know that we've not changed the intent and the substance of this show, because the substance of this show is providing you the academic-based evidence of where we've come from, what we're doing, what is going on. And what we want to do is give you the academic-based solutions to solve this. And as a matter of fact, the solution, in a nutshell, and actually it doesn't solve everything, but I want you to understand, Republic Review is the catalyst that causes all things to be, or opens all the doors to restore. One of the things I tell when I sit down and talk to any person of the clergy, a pastor, what have you, and they talk about their concerns of America needing a third awakening. Okay, and I talk to many people regarding the spirituality of America and so forth. What I tell them, because most people like going down and citing this line that John Adams stated, that the Constitution was solely written for a righteous nation. And I disagree. John Adams was wrong quite a bit. He was right on a few things, but that was it. I mean, it was John Adams that basically said this wasn't a Christian nation, which directly conflicts with the idea that the Constitution was written for a righteous people and a righteous nation. Fact of the matter is that the Constitution was written for spanning a period and an evolution and or an evolving of governance from a, let's just say, not a theocratic society, but a righteous society that they had at that time, where every state and most everybody in the states, I mean, Thomas Jefferson was an aberration. He was one of the few people that wasn't currently or engaged actively in his local community and in his church. And so, kind of interesting, right? Well, as you understand, and as we talk about what Republic Review does, Republic Review gets the government back into the framework of the Constitution, where it can no longer hinder or come after or oppress pastors, religion, education, and those types of things, where they dictate. Currently, the federal government is dictating what the curriculum is. They're dictating everything, our economy, everything. So if you want to restore the spirituality of America, we have to do Republic Review first. If you want to restore a free market system, we have to get Republic Review done. If you want to get all of these things done, we have to force the federal government into compliance. Once the federal government is complying, then, and this is why I say this in a general term, all of our problems, practically 100%, maybe not 100, but 99% of all of our problems go away. And now what we have to do is we have to go back to the fundamental principles of a free market, the fundamental principles of religious freedom, the fundamental principles of those things that made America great. Anyway, academia, free academia, to where, and I don't mean free as in the cost, but allowing all the topics and subjects to be basically put on the table and using empirical data, not manipulated data, to create an axiom, to create that, this is the truth. Because anybody that starts presenting communism in a vacuum can get away with people believing that communism is the best solution for governing, when the facts of the matter and the empirical data proves otherwise. And so we have to have a free academia to be able to actually go through, present all the information and data. The problem is that there's way too many schools and there's way too many people that don't understand how to get all that data to the table so that everybody can look at it objectively and walk away with the same conclusion. Because I believe reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And when you really look at the compulsion and the force of, you know, these ideologies of subjugation, whether that be communism or Islam, it doesn't matter. It's still subjugation, right? Anyway, we have a comment line, because this is just the monologue. We have a comment line, 425-270-5416. You got a question, you got a comment, you got a complaint, a gripe, I'll play it. Just call 425-270-5416. You are not obligated. Many people listen to this show via the podcast or broadcast or via other mechanisms. And so I'm here to tell you that when the mood arises, when you go, you know what, I'm really going to, you know, unleash these things that bother me, and I want to know about this or the questions that I have that are burning my soul, 425-270-5416. And we definitely want to thank you, because we've been able to sustain some good tuning in and listenership, and that's all because of you. I hope that you find this show providing you content that is substantive and actually helps you think and is, you know, basically helping develop and nurturing you to becoming a, I don't want to make you an automaton. I want you to be a constitutional warrior and a champion of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And I want to give you the arguments and the facts from source documents, so people actually start understanding that this is irrefutable. Because we are in a war, and this is the final war. This is the final war with Satan, for those of you who, you know, are strongly religiously inclined. I mean, I've met a lot of people that consider themselves religiously inclined, but they don't understand anything regarding last days, Satan, and all these. And this is, I've said this before, I've mentioned this in my book, that in the 90s, I believe it was the mid-90s, there was less than, there was over 50%, yeah, these are the numbers, there was over 50% of the American population that believed and was practicing Christianity, more than 50%. However, out of that 50%, 80%, This is the thing that I couldn't fathom in the 90s. 80%, almost 80% of those Christians didn't believe that there was a devil. Okay, how can that be? How can they claim to be Christian and not understand Lucifer? How can you understand Christ and not understand Lucifer? Anyway, but it's gotten worse, and we've actually proven, and I think it was well over 50%, and I believe it was 2016 or 2017 where the Pew Research came out and said we now have less than 50% of the American population that practices regularly. When they say regularly, like, that doesn't mean every week. Regularly to them is a very low bar. Like, you know, you go to the, you know, the masses or the ceremonies or the church worships on Easter, Christmas, and those types of things, but you don't necessarily, you know, participate on a weekly basis. So less than 50%, and they don't even give you the numbers of those weekly parishioners, those people that go on a weekly basis. They don't give you that number. And I think it's, you know, it's a staggering low number. So I want you to understand that we're in a final war, and that war is with Satan, and that we have to look at our enemy as the ultimate evil. And so what we have to do, when we fight a war, you can go and engage, you can go and engage your enemy on their preferred battlefield, or you can dictate where you're going to take the fight to them. And so this is where you engage them. And we want to engage the enemy where we have the advantage, where we have the Constitution on our side, not, you know, the judges and the court system on his side or on their side. Anyway, I say this, and I've been saying this for several weeks now, using different ways of saying this exact same thing. I'm hoping that you start to understand really what this fight is all about and who we're fighting and why it is important that we break away from the news cycle and we break away from engaging via the status quo, that we actually have to start regrouping. We have to get smart. You have to get smart on the Constitution. You really do. It's not rocket science. This is not that difficult. In a nutshell, the Constitution is a compact. And Article 7 is the most important article in the entire Constitution because it delineates that fact, that it is a compact and that the primary party, the only parties in this compact are the states, period. Not the people, the states. And each state gets a single vote. That's why ratifying amendments and the ratification of it was not done by a popular vote. It was done as a vote agrees. It was binary yes or no. It wasn't yes or no by the magnitude of 50% of the republic. It was one vote yes in the affirmative that we will make this amendment a constitutional amendment or no. Or we will accept the Constitution. Now, so everybody that's a part of this union so far has completely agreed and has embraced that the Constitution and its constitutionally ratified amendments are the supreme law of the land, not what the federal government says. The federal government can do all sorts of things. It has legislation and exclusive legislation in the District of Columbia. It can come up with its own legislation of, you know, decorum or what have you. It cannot force those laws upon the states. So with that, when we come back, I hope Harry, I hope you're listening. You said you're going to be tuning in on a regular basis. I hope you're listening because we really want to dive into some progressive paradigms. But we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so where were we? Okay, so we were just talking about the battlefield. We're fighting the enemy. And Harry, I hope you're listening. What we need to really be clear on, excuse me again for the frog. I told you, have frog will travel, right? We are in a constitutional crisis. There is no doubt that we have a president that is unconstitutional. When you have an unconstitutional electoral college allowed to choose the president, when Vice President Pence, he should be charged for failing And as a matter of fact, he should be held accountable to Section 3 because he failed to support the Constitution in demanding that the Electoral College be thrown out. Nancy Pelosi, every leader and every person that did not come forward and say this is an unconstitutional Electoral College and must be thrown out because the manner in how they were chosen was not dictated by the state legislators. Those in 31 states, executives and jurists used their position and what they thought was political expediency to bypass the constitutional process. Therefore, they made these Electoral College electors unconstitutional. That simple. And so we have no president because a president was not chosen per the constitutional process. If you don't have an Electoral College, then Congress must choose the president, period. There's no way around this. And so we do not have a constitutionally chosen president. And this is really important and why I want to emphasize this, because we're kind of going to get into, you know, this real quick, because there's still way too much talk. People are wasting way too much time on Trump and President Trump and so forth. He's been had, and he's gone. What we want to do, and what I want to really get into is, you know, because there's this, I'll call them rumors. There's all of this false information. Trump supposedly has declared martial law. Trump has supposedly signed bills that get rid of the unconstitutional. I am here to tell you the only way we get rid of unconstitutional government, because the president of the United States does not have the authority to dictate what is constitutional and what is not. He is not a party to that compact. Only the parties to that compact can enforce it. So it's pretty clear, regardless of what Trump has done, if he declared martial law, if he actually went out and declared that the incorporations of the United States, and he's going to get sworn in March. If you buy into this, you're buying into the equal unconstitutional government that the progressives are doing. Because only the states have the authority to dictate what is constitutional, what isn't. And until the states stand up and say, hey, we never delegated you this authority, they're going to continually be violating and continually perpetuating a constitutional crisis. Really, this is why it is so important to wake up our state legislators and say, do you realize the mess that you're allowing to continue? One of the things I do want to point out, because if you understand what a real leader does, a real leader unites people on core principles. A real leader doesn't create divisions and factions and so forth, right? A false leader will actually just come in and try to, you know, and this happens in organizations, and I've talked about this, how you'll get somebody coming in, like the Constitution Party. There are a few states that do not have sanctioned Constitution parties, but they have these pseudo Constitution parties. I'm trying to remember who I was talking to. It was a friend and patriot in Pennsylvania. And they pointed to a state that was being ran by a pseudo Constitution Party person. And we both know the name. And so anyway, so we were using this guy's name, going back and forth. And bottom line, as I point out to her, I said, this person that he was tried to run for president in that state, bottom line, he can't go onto a national ticket because he is not sanctioned by the Constitution Party. He has basically taken and fractionalized that organization and has basically sullied its name because he didn't like what the Constitution Party was doing. And he used demagoguery, or what, you know, he claimed he didn't like what they were doing. But all these characters are the same. They go into, you know, whether it be a religious organization or what have you, and they create division and they take people and they divide them. Who does that? Near as I can tell, I think that's what Satan did in heaven, right? With the war in heaven. Those are the tactics of the adversary, the evil one. If you want to understand why anybody would try to divide, I mean, a real leader stands, again, on core principles that everybody can stand upon. And so if Trump is truly a leader, then he wouldn't be going down this path of creating the Patriot Party. Anybody that gets on board with the Patriot Party is just as gullible as the, you know, the person that buys, you know, ice cubes from a, you know, as an Alaskan buying ice cubes from the door-to-door salesman. I mean, come on, you can't be this gullible to not recognize. And I know I'm insulting people in saying this, but this is factionalism. And this is how we're continually being divided. A true leader, if Trump is a true leader, he will step aside and say, we need to unite on the Constitution. That is the one core universal principle that all Americans should unite on, period. And we will find that most Americans that don't unite on it are because they are supporting a ill-advised political agenda, whether that be communism, whether that be the Republicans and their way they want to control big government. Because bottom line, everybody recognizes that if we stand on the Constitution and support the Constitution, then a lot of the unconstitutional spending, the money goes away, the fraud, the fraudulent debt goes away. Everything that has been done in fraud goes away as we start standing and enforcing the Constitution. You know, I'm just involved in a leadership conversation today where we were talking about very specific things that need to be done down at the county level and, you know, in working and moving us into the direction of healing this nation, like I was saying, with pastors and so forth. And it was stated that there's, you know, we probably won't need to be doing petitions. We probably won't need to be doing certain things anymore if we institute plans, policies, procedures, regulations, whatever you want to call them, where we hold all of our public servants accountable to Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. You know, I've said this time and time again, that a public servant is legally obligated to support the Constitution. They take the legal oath to do so, and Section 3 holds them to that, that if they fail to support the Constitution, then they are no longer qualified and must be removed and banned for life. It's really clear. Here's the thing. When we start looking at what is supporting the Constitution, well, there's these, you know, these fork tongues, these soothsayers, these evil doers that try to use word speak and going, well, I'm not committing rebellion against the Constitution. I'm just, you know, just because I didn't actively go out and support and champion, you know, compliance doesn't mean I'm not doing it. Absolutely not. I'm sorry, you are guilty if you are not actively supporting, because supporting is an action word. You will support. That is action. You must support, to be very clear. And so public servants who fail to, quote unquote, support the Constitution, and in some states it's not only support, but it's defend and obey. Boy, I love Wyoming's oath of office. You will support, defend, and obey the Constitution. This is why all the politicians do everything they can to marginalize the importance of that oath, that legal obligation. Oh, you know, those are just words. We need to get rid of that. And as a matter of fact, woe unto those who hearken to that claim that, oh, we need to get rid of the oath of office. You know, it's passé. We're honorable people. We do what the people want us to do. No. That's not your job. Your job is to make sure that the Constitution is complied with. If we have a democracy republic, then they do what the people tell them to do. But clearly the Constitution Clearly, the Constitution does not allow that type of latitude. The Constitution dictates that these are how things are supposed to be done. And you just can't, you know, ignore the Constitution. It is not allowed. So anyway, I just want everybody to start waking up. If Trump is, we need to start challenging anybody you know that is a Trump supporter or has ties to Trump. You need to challenge, go, when is Trump going to actually start leading and standing and unifying people on the Constitution instead of on him? Because it's all been about him. I want to be clear here. There's no empirical data yet where Trump has really tried to, you know, champion the Constitution. Because I've told you, if I was the president, the first thing I would do is I would take that, you know, that 1 or 2 year tour going around to the states and in the largest forum possible in front of all the legislators and demand that they do their job in ringing in the federal government in line with the Constitution. I'm going to run out of words here because I'm going to run out of time. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me kind of wrap up on Trump, because I'm railing on Trump right now, right? And I just talked about if Trump was truly was truly a leader, then he would actually start unifying people on the Constitution. I truly believe if America wants a president that is going to lead this country in restoring our liberties, what he has to do is and this is what I would do. I would do a presidential tour, just like what George Washington did when he was first inaugurated. He went to every state and basically met all the people and met all the state leaders and, you know, talked about unifying on the Constitution and this new government that was just created called the federal government with a little F, not a capital F. As he goes around in this tour, these are the things that I would promise. These are the things that I would be asserting if this was me as the leader of this nation, of this great constitutional republic. I would tell these state leaders that I will protect them, that I will not allow the federal bureaucracies to actually, you know, to go and force, get rid of all the federal bureaucracies, get rid of them, to tell them to shut down every single federal agency that is operating in your state, that we don't need to have a physical presence in your state. The IRS, all of these organizations, they're not constitutional. Then I would tell them that I would also protect the patriots who are taking a lead and taking a stand. And I would punish the rebellious public servants with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment by using the DOJ in removing them. Whether Congress likes this or not, I would start using the Department of Justice, because what is the president's oath? Read his oath, that he will actually, you know what? Guess what? GR is going to actually pull it up, because we've got the Constitution right here. We're going to go to, and where do you find that? That's Article 2, and I think it's right at the very end. I do solemnly swear, this is the end of Article 2. This is it's the end of Section 1 of Article 2. I do solemnly swear or affirm, legally affirm, that I will faithfully execute the office of the president and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. So his job is to faithfully execute the laws of the Constitution. Not just be the office manager, but to actually enforce the Constitution. The president of the United States has the obligation of going around and actually removing public servants who are openly rebelling against the Constitution by supporting the invasion of America for the last several decades. Any public servant, whether they be down at the state. So in other words, I would be telling the states, we're going to start removing congressmen. We're going to start removing judges. Any judge that claims that it's okay to allow illegal aliens to come up with precedents or any other thing that violates Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, that invasions will be repelled and each state will be protected from them, then period, it's done. If there are illegals, then they must be removed, because these are invaders that are occupying our land. And going around and legitimizing them is equally rebellious against the Constitution, because what you've just done is without somebody taking the full allegiance and the process of immigration, because if you read the oath of office and the intent of somebody to become a U.S. citizen, a part of that is that they have to break all former allegiances and ties to potent sovereigns and states. Anyway, I would be using the Department of Justice to actually go, and I would, tell on my tour, on this presidential tour, I would tell them what they needed to do, how they needed to do this, and walk them through this. I will use the Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, basically model of success of what they should have done back in their time, but they didn't. They failed to do their job, and point out that I am going to be their advocate. I will help them. I will champion them and protect them. Because right now, the reality is Biden could use, unconstitutional force. I mean, when you're violating the Constitution to the degree that the federal government is doing, and when you have no regard for liberty and you have no regard for that Constitution, you will use any tyranny necessary. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, if Joe Biden uses force against states that are engaged in republic review and standing up to the federal government, he has basically written his career death warrant. It will be a death to any politician's career when you use force, by using American forces to hurt and harm American citizens, period. America doesn't like, bullies in other parts of the world, and we definitely will not stand for a bully in America. We don't accept it, we don't like it, and that's the end of the story. Anyway, so the other thing I didn't get the chance to do is I kind of want to wrap up on the conventionites and this debate of the conventionites and the anti-conventionites. And why do I use that term? Because again, it's this. What I'm really pointing out to is that these are divisive factions. really, if American citizens are responsible for supporting the Constitution, then enforcing the Constitution is a part of our duty as a U.S. citizen. And so those who claim that we do nothing, that they basically say, don't do an Article 5 convention, and what we're going to do is just educate you, that is antithetical to supporting the Constitution. Most people think, oh, well, it's good. No. It's one thing if I'm teaching you actually how to fight and the process of enforcing the Constitution, but that's not what's happening. And those who are the leaders in the this convention movement as the anti-conventionites, those who are leading on that side, they don't care about the solution. They only care that the problem persists. They're not out there trying to defend the Constitution. Or they would basically say, why are you state legislators allowing yourself and your time to be hijacked over an issue that had, you know, over something in the Constitution that the issues do not warrant? There's never been one argument articulated by the Convention of States folks that here is a specific deficiency. You know what? I've said this for years, and I think I said it in the past day or two, that it took Madison just a matter of a couple months to actually sit down and come up with the Virginia Plan. What Madison did in basically pushing the elements and convincing George Washington to be a part of the Constitutional Convention was a miracle. You could tell that this man was definitely helped and inspired by the divine hand of providence, by our Creator. But the real thing here, folks, is that he actually articulated what the problems were. They identified him very specifically, that this was defunct. This Article 13 of the Articles of Confederation that required unanimity, that everybody had to vote for it or it couldn't be, is ridiculous. It was the huge stranglehold that Rhode Island had because they always voted against everything. So, anyway, I'm getting a little excited. But the point of the fact is that what we really need to do is we need to unify on the Constitution, which means that we're not going to unify on making a change or even open it up to be rewritten. Because as I've proven to you, the only thing that the Convention of States is really stating is that they want a crack at rewriting the Constitution because they can't point to a specific role or responsibility within the Constitution that needs to be removed, or they can't say that this is a role and power we want them to have. They can't even say that there's a problem with the Constitution. So what other reason is there to amend the Constitution other than for rewriting it? And they're dancing around that. And I do know that the John Birch Society, the leader in the anti-conventionite movement, is pointing and poking them in the eye on this. But they're not ending this debate by turning to the state legislators and go, why is it you're even considering and listening to these folks trying to petition you? Why is it you're not looking at how the Constitution is being violated? Because everybody here has been complaining. We all agree that the Constitution is being violated. There is no evidence whatsoever. There's nothing. When Mark Meckler states that the Article 5 Convention is the mechanism for dealing with enforcing the Constitution, absolutely not. Because Thomas Jefferson and James Madison proved that that was not the process. They did exactly what needed to be done. Anyway, the real fact is that Mark Meckler does not want people to understand what James Madison and Thomas Jefferson were doing. And the principles that drove all of this by the mind and thoughts of Thomas Jefferson in how to deal with breaches of the Constitution. This is why both sides tread lightly on this. And so, the fact is, yours truly has to expose this truth. Because the truth is that there is a methodology in enforcing the Constitution. Plain and simple. We call it Republic Review. And we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so let's kind of move on. I know I've kind of talked and talked to ad nauseum on this. So what I want to do now is I want to spend a couple of days, because I think we need to catch up on really what the heck's going on, because I know you're getting a part of the news cycle. Most people that listen to this show are not elbows deep in working and supporting the movement of enforcing the Constitution, which means that there's plenty of exposure and getting sucked into the news cycle. And so one of the things we kind of want to do is I'd like to focus on this one paradigm that, you know, Voltaire was basically credited for saying this. To find out who rules over you, simply find out who you're not allowed to criticize. And so some of the things I want to start putting out, because let's start identifying the things that we can't criticize and what's actually being put out and stipulated, not as the mores or as the intelligentsia. Oh, you can't talk. You can't say that word without creating this connotation, because they've been very good in convincing people that a conspiracy theorist is a wacko, right? So they've been very good in manipulating and fine-tuning us to very specific words, that when somebody uses a word, like the John Birch Society, if you use the word convention, it's almost like they have this massive epileptic seizure or what have you, where they just, you know, go into fits and fall onto the ground and twitch and shake. Now, I'm exaggerating, but the fact of the matter is, I think you get the idea that they're programmed, and the concept of programming people to attune you to react a very certain way when a word is being used is one of those ways of manipulating and controlling us and keeping us from criticizing. You don't use the word conspiracy. They're conspiring because you don't want to be labeled as a wacko. Anyway, so here's a few things that I have noticed that's starting to come out in the news, that people apparently aren't allowed to criticize or take a stand on something. One of those is taking a stand on the thin blue line. the University of Wisconsin-Madison's police chief has banned officers from using the, quote, thin blue line, quote, imagery while on, in other words, they can't have that patch of the U.S. flag in, with the blue line going through it, you know, the black and white flag with that thin blue line. Right there, they are succumbing and they are allowing themselves to become the subjects of political correctness and the what they are supporting. Another one that I noticed was in, and this was a few days ago, an Army officer, and I forget the Army, he was a chaplain, and he's in Texas. The Army officials are investigating this Texas Army chaplain after he suggested in a social media post that transgender soldiers were mentally unfit and unqualified to serve. So I guess you're not allowed to say those types of things. I'm telling you right now that there you need to look up SOGI, S-O-G-I, and the movement of getting every state legislator to pass these unconstitutional laws that make it illegal for you to not use the proper pronouns, to not, you know, refer to them in the way they want you to refer to them. In other words, they are controlling your speech and telling you the words you can't use. This is all a violation of the U.S. Constitution. And every state that has passed this law and every state legislator who has supported these types of laws has openly rebelled against the Constitution. And this goes back to my saying, as the president should be using the DOJ to go and removing these people. And I know that the American people would be really upset. But this is where we have to start educating and say, bottom line, there's no lawmaker that has the authority to create a law in your state that violates your constitutional rights. This is America. You have a right to be offended, and you have a right to be pissed off and say what you want to say. Your speech is protected, period. All speech must be protected. Anyway, there are actually going after anybody, and I just want to put this paradigm out there because we're going to be attuned to this so that we can kind of start showing you who is really in control. And whoever's in control definitely supports the debasement of society by promoting sexual perversion to the nth degree. Bestiality is around the corner. I'm just telling you, this is the direction of the debasement, and it when I say around the corner, as a norm, because right now they're normalizing, they're very close to normalizing pedophilia. So this is how far we're going. Now, this doesn't mean that America is in that space. It's just like the governments around the world that are buying into the globalist terms and that are invoking transgenderism. These concepts are so foreign to some of these nations that, you know, it's not like the people are going along with it. It's just that they're creating the laws that eventually when they start enforcing, they will actually start going after, you know, people to basically kill them or what have, because look at what happened in China just recently, right? I believe there was a person in China that, I forget what he did, but he was just executed because of the type of crime he did. And we'll get into that when we, you know, go through some more of this need to know news, but I'm just letting you know that we need to try to keep this little note on the side of our eyes or in our mind, you know, start being attuned to, oh, we can't criticize that. Oh, well, this kind of reveals a little bit more of who's in control. This reveals who is ruling us and the paradigm that they are inflicting upon us. Now, here's an interesting thing, because I don't know if you knew this just happened about the past week or so, but prior to the vaccinations beginning, there was already the spin that was being done by mainstream media that most of you didn't even know happened. And this is what G. Edward Griffin reported. He basically said this: elderly and frail people are slated to be the first to receive the Pfizer vaccine that was given an emergency use authorization in the U.S. in an article on the COVID vaccine rollout, CNN says that Americans shouldn't be alarmed if people start dying after taking the vaccine because, quote, deaths may occur that won't necessarily have anything to do with the vaccine, close quote. Dr. Kelly Moore cautioned that vaccines don't work as well on the frail and elderly people and may die shortly after receiving the vaccine, not because it has anything to do with the vaccination, but because these people are at the end of their lives anyway. In other words, they're just justifying, oh, well, they were going to die, and it wasn't that. And here is some just astounding evidence of such. Hank Aaron, I think it was the 6th of January or the first week in January, Hank Aaron received the COVID vaccination. As a matter of fact, he used the words he was proud. He was proud to be an example for, you know, the Black community and for, the, you know, those who were reluctant that, you know, we all need to be vaccinated. Well, if you didn't know, just weeks after he took that vaccination, he died from COVID. And he was in perfect health prior to this. And there's no explanation of how he caught COVID other than the fact that these vaccinations actually expose you to that. And the remember, scientific rule number one, results take time to measure. Once you start doing something, you start smoking cigarettes and, you know, society starts embracing homosexuality or smoking cigarettes or what have you, smoking this substance or consuming a new substance, using asbestos. It doesn't matter. It takes time to measure the results of what happens by you using that material. Are you doing this thing or taking this substance? Time, our results take time to measure. So now that we're getting these results in and they're not looking good already, folks, don't take this vaccine. We need to resist this type of manipulation and this type of mass fraud. Because that's what we've been subjugated in an unconstitutional, tyrannical system, and we're being forced into these fraudulent concepts and fraudulent solutions. Do not allow yourself. I mean, everybody needs to make the choice for themselves. And if you choose to be vaccinated, you know, buyer beware. But that's your choice, right? America, you have the liberty to choose for yourself. I would just appeal to everybody to say you have to challenge everything. Do not just trust your government, you know, carte blanche. We cannot just give them that full pass anymore. No more. Not sure if you heard this, but Google just lately, and so you remember this idea, that, you know, if you want to know who rules you, then let's figure out who you can't criticize, right? Well, Google, I think it was on Monday, announced that its political action committee will no longer make donations in this next cycle to members of Congress who voted against certifying the 2020 presidential election. You know, they're like Trump. They buy everybody to manipulate you. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake.
send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.